It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. Well, the woodcock is apparently really, really difficult to spot in the forest. And somebody just recently, social media, Duluth Phenology maybe, could have been Sparky Stensis, could have been all kinds of these great wildlife photographers. They found one and they've talked about how really difficult it is to find them. However, this is people looking, not dogs looking. Ryan Steiner is a UMD MS graduate, and he is a bird study field crew leader with NRRI. He's got the secret to finding woodcocks so you can study them. Hey, Ryan, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us. Tell us about your secret.
Yeah, so, as you said, woodcocks are extremely difficult to spot in the forest. There's a brief period in the spring where the males display. That's a great time to see them, but once it moves into summer, they become very difficult. If you've ever seen a woodcock, its back basically just looks like the leaves in the forest, and when they hear you coming, they just sort of squat down and sit very still and look exactly like the forest floor. So with our research, we're really interested in finding nests of the species. And then also, once they hatch, we want to put these tiny transmitters that are less than a gram that give out a radio signal that allows us to track them across our plot. And so to do that, we need to actually find them. And when I started on the project, I got kind of worried about doing the woodcock because just walking through the forest, that seems impossible. But fortunately, we've been working with a woman named Debbie Peterson for quite some time. She's been doing bird surveys for us, and she happens to have a dog named Riley that is specially trained to find woodcocks for our type of research. So it was a really nice pairing, and she's been out in the woods finding them for us with the dog. The dog's able to pick up the scent of the woodcock and find them in a way that a person on their own never could.
Now, are woodcocks hunted for sport? I can't remember if I ever knew.
Yes, they are.
So, is Riley a hunting dog?
Yeah, so most of the dogs that do this sort of work, and there's quite a few across the state, they're all hunting dogs. But this is a little bit different than hunting. A hunting dog in the fall will find a woodcock, point it, and then it flushes, and then the person would try to shoot it, and that's all that really happens. But here, especially when we're looking for the young, for the nestlings or the hatchlings, once they're out running around, it can be a little bit more chaotic because the female woodcock might flush, but she's not going to go very far because she doesn't want to leave the babies, and there's a bunch of little hatchling woodcocks running around, so it's a bit more chaotic. So you have to have a dog that's really specially trained and isn't going to snatch up a baby woodcock like many dogs would without training. So Riley is specially certified to do this kind of work. So while it's similar to hunting, there's just enough difference that there's a special certification for doing this sort of thing.
Wow, it's just fascinating. And I'm just thinking, you know, as an aspiring photographer, where could you find a dog like that? Because you want the dog to say, yes, a photograph right there. That would be marvelous.
Sure. So I'm sure any hunting dog would be able to point it, and if you were careful enough, you might be able to get a shot before the bird flushes. But yeah.
Well, and then of course
you would definitely not want to go do something like that in the middle of the summer when there's a lot of chicks running around.
Oh,
that'd be
no.
Pretty disturbing to them. But in the fall, I think that would be a fine thing to do.
Well, I would imagine even with a hunting dog that could say, there's your photograph, I'll flush the bird, you have to take the photograph, so that would certainly be something. I got a poodle and I got a chihuahua, so I'm thinking that's absolutely not going to happen. So the idea, obviously, is then that the dog isn't going to try to retrieve You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to bring any babies back. Although if you needed to tag the babies or mark them with this little transmitter, some of the dogs that have these amazingly soft mouths could probably bring you back a bunch of baby woodcocks and not hurt them one bit.
I don't know. I don't think anybody does it that way. I've never heard of that anyways. It seems like it might be possible, but we just catch all of our woodcock by hand. Let the dog point them out. And then we do the catching.
I think that's
it's really not terribly difficult because the babies will just freeze and stay in put. And so I think it's probably a little bit safer that way. As soft as a dog's mouth may be, my hand is probably a little bit softer.
Exactly. So. And you want to get the business done as quickly as possible, handling the babies as little as possible, I guess.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. It's great. Especially with Debbie, who's volunteered doing this type of work for quite some time. She's very quick and gets it done, and we get out of there and let them go on their way, which is important to our research, too, because we don't want to overly stress them out and change their behavior, which would make the data we're collecting a little less valuable.
What kinds of information are you trying to gather about the woodcock, Ryan?
Yeah, so there's sort of two elements of it. So with woodcock, but also we're looking at golden-winged warblers and veery. All three of these species we know have declines in this area. Our lab has done a lot of bird surveys over the years, and these three species are ones from those decades of surveys that we know to be declining. So we're interested in taking a little bit of a deeper look into that to help conserve the species. So basically, we're looking for nests, and then we want to track the fledglings once they're out of the nest. And what we want to know is what are the micro habitats or what are the forest structures that promote success in both nesting and then once the birds are out of the nest. We have some idea from previous research about the nesting, at least in other areas, but what happens to the birds after they leave the nest is sort of this black hole of information for almost all species of birds. So that part of the research is especially important because they don't necessarily need the same things when they're hiding, you know, when they're in a nest versus when they're outside.
Right. Once they've got to take care of themselves, it's a different ball game.
For sure. I mean, even when the parents are taking care of them, you know, they need they definitely need places to hide, or else, you know, there's plenty of red squirrels and that sort of thing out in the forest that are looking for an easy catch. And they leave the nest before they can fly. But for all of those species, or at least before they can fly well. So having a forest structure that protects you from predators is a pretty big deal.
You know, once in a while, you read about a dog that was traumatized in some way and is gun shy, or a dog that for whatever reason just was not really copping to being a good hunting dog. It seems like this would be a great second career for some of those dogs, depending on why they weren't really great at being a hunting dog. It seems like this would be a wonderful opportunity for them. Has Debbie talked to you about the different kinds of dogs that get involved, or maybe people come to them and say, hey, this might be a good dog for that particular certification?
I will say I've met a lot of the owners of the dogs and the dogs that do a lot of the woodcock research in Minnesota, and primarily they are hunting dogs. But I am aware from some of my other colleagues that there are some organizations that take dogs that are gun shy and train them to do work like this, not necessarily just for woodcock. Dogs are used for finding mammal scat for projects and things like that. All things that a dog that would be gun shy or, you know, may not make the best actual hunting dog may still be able to do.
Wow, that is really fantastic. I'm so heartened as a dog lover that there are so many rescue organizations that want to work to find, you know, whether it be good homes or rehabilitation or places so that every dog can find a place where they fit. And maybe that's what I need to look into eventually. Find a gun-shy dog and say, hey, you want to help me take pictures? I think I think it could be great. Ryan, thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. It was really great to have the opportunity to talk to you a little bit more about this project. And we'll get some links set up so folks can find out more about it if they're interested. Again, Ryan, thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan Steiner, our guest this morning. He is a bird study field crew leader with NRRI, and he's a graduate of UMD. He's also our guest this morning on Green Visions. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.